In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. We love that idea. All things have become new. Just as long as we don't do new things, of course. We don't want anything to change. We do like the idea of new. We want the church to grow. We want new people to be here, but don't sit in our pew. Don't change anything. We want it just the way it is, just more, right? You know, we want to think that we are the younger son in the prodigal son, that we're the ones who are lost and get welcomed back. And we are, because we are sinners. We have squandered what has been given to us. And that's the meaning of the word prodigal, by the way, not wandering off, but spending. Prodigious is the same kind of word there. The son spent all that he had on slow horses and fast women and had nothing left. Had to go out and feed the pigs. Yeah, I don't think that has quite the impact for us that it did for the Jews listening to Jesus back then. Remember, pigs were unclean. No bacon for them or anything like that. And it's like he said, and so he hired him and he went out and had to clean out the septic tanks. And then was envious of what he found floating in there because he was starving. And that's the kind of idea, that's the low point this guy was at. And that's what we want to see ourselves, is even when we're at our lowest point, that we come back. And not only is the Father willing to take us in, he sees us from far off. And it's not like the Father had written off this younger son. Well, forget him. If he doesn't want to be part of the family, I'm not going to worry about it. He's looking for him. He can't wait to catch sight of him if he ever does come back. When he's still far off, the Father rushes out to him. Can't wait to see him. I'm telling you, since Zachary went off to college, this has gotten a lot more meaning for me. Not that he's spending his time with, you know, fast women and slow horses, but it is great when he comes home. We've missed him. And so I can understand the Father wants him back, even though he's done terrible things, perhaps. And he welcomes him in. And sometimes we are that younger son. We are the sinner. Welcome back into the fold. All is forgiven. More often, though, because we're fairly decent people, we're the elder son. We kind of worry about those people who come in. Where have you been all this time? Instead of rejoicing at their return, at their coming, sometimes we look askance. Think, who do they think they are? We're more like the Pharisees. Not only does he talk to sinners and tax collectors, he eats with them. We can be jealous of the grace of God. Jesus tells several parables about that jealousy. The laborers who work all day, for example, and then are upset when those who came in at the end of the day got the same pay they did. We need to be careful that we're not the ones being tempted to that kind of feeling. We should rejoice when the lost sheep is found. We should rejoice when people realize that they can be in the family of God. Just as we rejoice when we remember that, when we have felt far away, when we feel like we have strayed, when we feel like we've lost our way, we want to know that we're welcomed back, that all is forgiven, and that we can rejoice with the family. But we have to be able to do that for others as well. I don't think it's happened here, and I hope it never does, but the absolute worst thing you can do, just so you know, because it's happened to me, is for somebody to come back who's been out for a while and go, oh, look, the roof didn't cave in, did it? Don't ever do that. I know you kind of want to make a mark about it or something. Don't. Ease people back. Make it simple. People leave church for all kinds of reasons. I did myself for a number of years. Of course, I was Southern Baptist. It was a whole different thing. I finally found my home, and I've been coming back ever since. But I did go back, and I dreaded that thought of people making a big deal out of it, and I thank God that no one at North Macomb Baptist did. They just went on like I'd always been there, and it made it so much easier. And that's what we want. When people come back into the fold, when they do take that step with trepidation, wondering how they'll be received, we want to make sure it's with open arms. And actually, with very little fanfare at all, I think, for me personally, different people are different. But we want to be able to know that we are welcoming, that people come here and feel loved and accepted. And I think they do. This is not a fussing sermon. It's an encouraging sermon that we continue to do these kind of things. That we remember that as much as we want to be welcomed in, we also want to avoid the pitfall of the elder brother, thinking, well, we've been doing the work all this time. We've been here the ones doing the stuff, doing the potlucks, doing the bazaar, doing whatever it is, and these people just show up. But they showed up. They're here. And we welcome them. And we love them, as we know that God welcomes and loves us. Because it is all a new creation in Christ. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he's writing to a church that had all kinds of people in it. Corinth was kind of the New Orleans of its day. I don't know if they had Mardi Gras, but yeah, still, they had a lot of stuff going on. And all kind of people in this church, and they had all kind of issues that we can tell from Paul's two letters to them. What he was reminding them was that all that difference didn't matter in light of the sameness of what they had in Christ Jesus. That they were, in effect, a new creation. That you couldn't use the same human categories that we used before Christ. But although we'd known Christ in a human way, that just didn't matter anymore. Because now we knew Christ in a new way, as the Son of God, as the Word, as the Logos, as the second person of the Holy Trinity, as the incarnation of God, as something so far beyond and outside our everyday experience as to be life-altering, that in the light of Jesus Christ, differences pale, they fade, they don't count in what we have in Jesus Christ. That the love of Christ should wipe out all those differences, and that we all stand before Christ as beloved children of our God, through Christ and in Christ and because of Christ. And that's what we seek to do. And we're thankful for that when it happens to us. And we must also be thankful when it happens to someone else. Elsewhere, Paul writes about that we should weep when others weep and rejoice when others rejoice. And we're usually pretty good about weeping with others. We feel sympathy, we feel empathy. But sometimes it's really hard to rejoice when someone else is rejoicing and we're not. But still we should. We should not feel bad because we have something good happen to us. And we should always rejoice in the good news of God and Christ. And that's rejoicing and good news. We should never feel bad about sharing what Christ has done in my life, how I am more like Christ because of Christ. That through the Holy Spirit, through the indwelling of God in our lives, that we are more like Christ every day. That's what we should strive for. That's our goal. That's our very reason for being, to be more and more like Christ through the grace of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.